Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. And each week I bring to this program what I feel is really at the cutting edge of a spiritual revolution that's happening in this country and around the world. The last few weeks I've been on location in England, really studying an amazing phenomena. I was traveling with my guest, Zachary Feder, and we're going to be talking about our experience in the fields of Wiltshire, in the crop circle fields, which I feel is a level of communication that's coming to the planet that's going to bring us into new realities. Zachary, are you there?
I'm here, Alan. Nice to be talking with you.
Yeah, so it was a pretty phenomenal experience, wasn't it? Being in the fields and experiencing the people there, and really no one knows what's going on. That was my sense of it. What was yours?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think we went there for maybe expecting to get definite answers, but it was amazing how even the people who were really at the pub we were at every day where the crop circle pictures come up, I mean, people are still, you know, they're coming up with evidence, but people are still shrugging their shoulders. It's just utterly mysterious.
Right, and I hope most people know what crop circles are, which are these basically geometric formations that are appearing all over the world, but predominantly in Wiltshire, which I guess is like a county in southern England, southern part of England, and they're not just simple designs, they're very complex geometric designs, and sometimes they're 300 feet or like size of a couple of football fields, and they appear overnight or maybe instantaneously. You remember the farmer we were talking to? He says, for 20 years are happening and no one can explain it.
Yeah, he was a great little meeting we had. He was landed gentry who was telling us, you know, with a big fat golden signet ring, and was telling us off the record that every field we could see practically around us, he didn't own them officially, but he leased them from Oxford University.
Right.
And he didn't say to us that he believed what or what it was or what it wasn't, but he definitely gave us the impression that he was baffled by it and couldn't believe that it was people going around with planks and string. I mean, that's the feeling I got when we left. He was very funny about it because he kept having this like wry smile as he was talking with us, and he was clearly a guy who is probably not that interested in the new age and spirituality and stuff. But he was really giving us a smile, like this is a unique phenomenon that is authentic. This is not just a bunch of guys playing around with boards.
Wow. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, hearing that from the people there, I have to also say a couple of years ago, there were two guys named Doug and Dave that came forward and said, yeah, we did them. We did the crop circles. We stomped down in the middle of the 90s all these geometric patterns. I mean, clearly, you know, no one else was coming forward. These guys wanted their minute of fame, but they couldn't duplicate what they have done. And not only that, this farmer said, yeah, when I talked to Doug and Dave, I said, okay, you're under arrest for damaging my crop. They said, oh, we didn't do any of them in Wiltshire. And but you know, the masses and the media still hang on to it's people doing it, it's a fake, it's a phony. And the reason, you know, and what this program's all about, I feel, is because there is no logical explanation. I mean, even me, it's like, well, you know, I'm still like, who is doing this stuff, you know?
I think the problem for like a story like this is that the ramifications are so massive. They go so far that it's almost like a dead-end story because it's just here it is. The formations are clearly very, very complex. I mean, there are layers and layers and layers within each formation. I mean, geometrical profundity within them. I mean, what are you supposed to do with a story like that? It's entirely open-ended, and it's just showing something magnificent that, full stop. There's very little else to say at the moment, because as yet we just have little instances of people's experience, but, I mean, difficult to have, an answer, a conclusion to it.
Well, you also wanted to talk about what happens when you walk into a crop circle. I thought that was a really good point. Go into it. So we've seen pictures, a lot of us have seen pictures on Crop Circle Connector, but what happened to you when you walked into the circle?
Well, there were two experiences. I mean, the first experience is just with the senses, just, with your eyes and what you're seeing. I mean, I think one of the things we definitely found out was that a lot of people, I think probably the vast majority, have never been in a crop circle. And they all have opinions about it. They've got completely concrete, it's, phony, it's this, it's that. They all have opinions about it, but if you ask them if they've been in one, no, never.
Right.
My experience was, and I really went there with an open mind, I really didn't care what it was or what it wasn't. I really didn't. I really just was interested, as you were, to investigate,
Yeah.
And the minute you walk into these things, I mean, straight away, the first thing that knocked me off was the workmanship. I mean, these things are really impressively crafted. I mean, the central spirals of them are like, it's like they're blow-dried with some sort of, like a vortex machine, because you can really see that the strands of wheat are blown perfectly, they're spiraled, and the edges and the corners are so perfect, really, really impressive. And then, of course, you've got places around normally, certain places where you can't see entry points. You'll have a circle or an area that's been flattened, really beautifully. And you look here and you think, how did they get into here? They had to have been like dropped from a crane or something into this place. Somehow dropped so they flatten it without making any other rupture or debris, and they flatten it, and then they have to climb out again in some way. But then you've got, in the one we saw at 08088, there were a ton of these things. All the teeth that were around the actual eight that was created, there were teeth on either side, and these things, you would have to have somehow entered into each of them without making any footprints or any, there's no, you can't see an entry point. So that's just baffling.
Yeah, that's baffling. The other baffling part is that because these patterns are so complex, it seems pretty difficult to imagine doing them on the ground and making them so perfect. I mean, these circles, they line up, their geometries line up, and they line up with the pattern over, the size of a football field. A circle on one side will match a circle on the other side exactly.
Yeah, and it's uneven ground. I mean,
yeah, that's another point that people get from the pictures. Is the ground is like sometimes sloping,
this is one thing. Yeah, people don't understand that when you get into these things, you're on a hill. That's could be at a completely ridiculous angle with bumps in it and things like that. And I mean, how they would understand what they're doing from the ground. I was talking to a person before I left who's in physics, and he was just saying, and he didn't really know, but he just said to me out of the blue, what's curious about it is they need two teams. If it was a bunch of guys, you'd sort of need a team up in the air somehow to coordinate with the guys on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, but then of course there was, as you said, there was also the feeling, there's a weird, there is a certain,
what was the
charge
feeling you got? I mean, from being
It was interesting because we spent like, I don't know, how long did we spend in there? We must have been in eight circles.
Eight circles? The last one on the 888 circle, I think we probably spent like 3 or 4 hours in that one, didn't we?
Yeah. And I noticed that there was a certain charge in them. There was a certain something. I couldn't really see it. I mean, I can't really define it, but there was something as you, when you walked into them, if you were sort of a little bit you relaxed yourself. I mean, I think if, you know, someone's on two Blackberries screaming down a phone and, you know, all in their stuff, then they might not notice it. But I mean, I was really trying to just make myself, you know, calm and just receptive to anything that might pop up. And we had a bunch of different reactions, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we were nauseous at times in certain one of them, and other ones were very, very relaxing. But they
well,
all had
right.
these strange feelings.
I remember I felt kind of dizzy the first circle I went in, and I sort of had to almost adjust to the frequency that was happening. I mean, it took me a while to get used to whatever was going on as far as vibration in these circles, because that really threw me off. I really felt off, and it's a subtle thing, but you could feel it. At least I did, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, up to the first or second, I started to go into them very much, very conscious of how I was feeling before going in, very much saying to myself, you know, this is not psychosomatic, just relax, you know, let's just feel for a change. And there were little changes. There were definite little changes. I mean, I remember there were little changes. I mean, there was one that we went in, and I remember leaving and sitting in the passenger seat of the car, and I remember having checked in with myself before I arrived and kind of saying, okay, feel what you're feeling now. You know, it's everything, you know, you're normal. You know, everything's, you're driving along in the passenger seat, as I've had that experience many times, a very common, boring experience. And on the way out, got back in the passenger seat, everything was the same again. I remember looking around as if something, you know, I'm in a different place. You know, I've slightly been altered. You know, something to do with my vision. I mean, just ever so slightly, but it was definite. It wasn't hallucinatory, you know,
well, do
at
you
all.
Think you've been altered, like, permanently? Do you feel different coming back to New York and or the States and feeling something shifted from that experience? Or I know you've been going through a lot of shifting, but anything palpable?
I don't know about that. That's hard to say. As you said, we're going through so many different shifts at the moment, and, you know, people who have particular metaphysical practices, you know, there's always a certain movement in different directions. Whether this time I've come back and the crop circles have had an effect, I really couldn't say for certain. But there was definitely a feeling. I mean, that's for sure. That's without a doubt.
Yeah, good. No, I totally agree with you that there's an energy. At one point, a bunch of us laid down the middle of this eight formation, and I felt as if the back of my spine, the Kundalini, was sort of pulsing. Sort of a pulsation there, which was a sort of a subtle cue for me that this is working with earth energies. And what changed for me is I sort of went there not skeptical, but I went there really to see. I mean, I believe that these patterns were too complex for someone to be doing them. And then it was in them. It's like I really wanted to believe that someone is doing it, because the option that these are done by something other than human opens up a whole new area for us. You know, it's a whole new area for humanity, and it's an intelligent communication. We were camped out on 08-08, August 8th, and about 200 people in the hills, and everyone was waiting for a formation that day because there was something the year before on 777. So there were hundreds of people in the field, and then no one saw any movement, no one saw anything, and yet there was a crop circle that appeared, and sort of ironically or not, in the shape of an eight, but not just a regular eight, because when I heard, oh, there was an eight appear, I said, oh, that must be a joke, because you know, it's so obvious. But when we got to the circle, we could see it wasn't really an ordinary eight. It was a kind of interweaving, some people call it a Mobius strip, a kind of a pattern that kind of turns in on itself. And the circles got from smaller to larger, and there were all these little teeth thing no one still has figured out what that means. But it was if the collective put out a kind of vibration of eight, and they came back to us and gave us an eight, but they gave us much more than that. So it's as if there's some kind of dialogue almost. Did you get that?
Absolutely. But I mean, what was amazing was the fact that whole area was covered in people. And actually, just to say, I don't know if you were there, but we saw some people. We met some people who said they saw. They didn't say they saw anything. They didn't say they saw it being made, but and they were normal people. They were just regular Joes.
Oh, that's
and they
right.
said
that's
that,
right.
that they had seen lightning without thunder, you know? And they weren't idiots. They didn't. I said to them, are you sure it wasn't very far away and you lost concentration within 15 seconds and forgot that, you know, didn't hear the thunder? They said, no. We know the relationship between lightning and thunder. We've understood that, you know. It can be very far away and you can hear a little crackle of thunder and you know. They knew that, and that's what they said, but they also said to me that, listen, we're not saying anything, that's just what we saw. We just saw it for a bit. It was a very, very brief period of time, and we sort of waited, and we didn't really hear any thunder, and it was, you know, it was also one of those quick things. It came and it went, and we looked at each other, we're like, did you see that? Sort of, yeah, I sort of saw it, but what are you going to do with that, you know?
Well, that's the other thing. So, you know, it seems, and I've studied, you know, the ET UFO thing, and UFOs have been seen over England a lot this summer, actually. And I've sort of had my own little gray experience with the little gray ETs, you know, maybe because it was in an altered state. But I didn't get the same feeling from these formations. I mean... Obviously, it seems like it's non-human. These are not humans doing this. I'm 99% sure. You know, I can't say I'm 100% because I still have my own little minute piece of skepticism. If I was to say 100% absolutely these are not man-made, I guess I could say that, but... I'm still holding on to a little piece of the old reality, perhaps. I mean, can you say 100% these are...
Well,
these
I have to say, for myself, having come out of that experience, my own personal conclusion now is that it would be more unbelievable if people actually did it. It would be more unbelievable. Because they're so incredible. They're so complex. You know, these guys would have been found and picked up, and it would be a new renaissance in art. I mean, literally, 2005, you know, or whenever they started, 20 years ago, so, you know, end of the 80s, the new renaissance in art, geometry, you know, Leonardo da Vinci and his little team have returned, and now they're hooking up with Cirque du Soleil, and they would be doing tours in all the museums, and there would be keychains being made, and T-shirts, you know, on a much wider scale.
It sounds like you're pretty convinced, and I'm pretty much too, that these are absolutely non-humanly constructed.
I'm like you, you know. I don't want to say that because I don't have the proof yet.
Let's just go there. So if these aren't humanly constructed, what explanation do you have in your mind? Have you created to explain what we just experienced?
Well, I can't deny the fact that there has been an awakening in the world. You know, since the 60s and the 70s, you know, and it's, I mean, you know, as a younger generation of this movement, I feel like, you know, when it first emerged in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was really youthful and innocent, but at the same time, unwieldy. You know what I mean? The flower power movement didn't have any discipline, it didn't have any rigor, it was just out there and wonderful. But because of the lack of vigor and all of that stuff, it slightly got smacked on the head in certain ways, you know? And then we had the sort of, this is my interpretation, but this is my feeling of what took place. There was a sort of crash of the waves.
It was a little too out there and uncontrolled, you're saying, the whole spiritual renaissance?
Yeah, well, the explosion. But I think that's normal. Yeah. I think that's the normal, that's what happens when the explosion first takes place. You know, it's beautiful, but it's also unwieldy, and it's uncontrolled, you know, and it's undisciplined. And that's beautiful, but there was certainly a backlash to that, which is the cynicism today of people turning their backs on the ponytails and the socks and the sandals and tie-dye T-shirts, and which is just an after effect of that beautiful explosion of love and energy. And now, it's like the geometry, I mean, let's face it, the people who are interested in crop circles are the same generation. You know, it's the same extended family of the flower power people. It's the same thing. But here we're being drawn into a more rigorous demand for, okay, we understand the heart and all that stuff, but don't, you know, keep to rigor. Keep to, you know, bring the heart into discipline, you know, in a certain way. This is my interpretation of it.
So then that means what in terms of the question? Like, what's your explanation, and what's it? Yeah.
Well, that it's. You're pushing me here because, as I said, I don't want to give too many.
You can just explore. I'm not saying like this is what you believe, but you know, the human mind is always looking to explain the world, and even when it meets an incomprehensible phenomena, the basic human drive is to try to explain it. It may not be by traditional means, or like our friend Paula Gloria, she goes to other means to explain something that can't be explained. But, you know, I have my own theories. I'm just curious, like, what,
well, I
you know,
think
how do you explain
it
to yourself?
I think that it's seeds are being planted. I think that's what it is. They're saying, look, this is the language of the universe, geometry, which we know. It's the language of the universe, and you guys don't speak it yet. You know, like we're children and we're learning to talk. You know, and this is the beginning of our birth. You know, in many different ways. You know, in terms of the date, in terms of where we are consciously. They're teaching us. You know, the original language.
Who they? Take a shot. Who are they?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea. I really don't. I mean, we were with Nancy Burson, who has a whole relationship with beings she calls extra celestials.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, very interesting. I have not had experience with them, so I don't know. Obviously, there are other people who believe that it's a certain group of extraterrestrials. I have not had experience with that either, so I don't know. I don't believe that Earth energy is coming up. A couple of people have mentioned that. That doesn't go with me. I mean, I believe it's a very, very conscious.
Could it be conscious Earth energies? Because the other element that I just want to throw out for people who really haven't been following is that these new patterns are interwoven with the old megalithic sites of England. There's Stonehenge, there's Avebury, Silbury Circle, Long Barrow, which is a tunnel, an ancient kind of a tunnel, stone tunnel under the ground. And so these ancient megalithic sites are right in the middle of where all these cross circles are. So, like, there must be some earth energies that were involved with the creating of these older sites. Could there be, and all those white horses that are etched in the hills, there seems to be a relationship there, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, they may be, you know, manipulating earth energies or working with earth energies. Frankly, I'm not even sure I know what earth energies are or mean, but I also believe that there's a certain personality as well to these formations. You know what I mean? I identify the Earth as a sort of, not necessarily personality-less being, but I feel the Earth is a much more, got less of a character than is what is being shown. I mean, these formations that are being shown, I mean, it's a very proactive character, a very strong personality in certain cases, you know? And I just, you know, a lot of winking, a lot of nudging, a lot of like, check us out, how amazing, you know, how brilliant we are. You know, in a humble way, and I just don't feel like the Earth has that sort of attitude, if you know what I mean.
Right. No, I agree with you that there's an intelligence there. I mean, the question for me was: is the intelligence from the planet, not maybe the planet itself, but maybe higher dimensional beings that have always been here? Or are they from beings or intelligences that are off-planet? And so coming to them, I, you know, am very well-researched in the extraterrestrial intelligence. You know, I've studied that for many years. I for sure know there are UFOs out there. I know the government is trying to cover up for the last 60 years these flights by crafts that they can't explain, and maybe they're working with them on some level. But and that has a sort of eerie feeling, those UFO things. Now, when I got to Wilkeshire, where most of the crop circles in the world are, I didn't feel that same kind of eeriness I feel around the UFO. So I had to look at my idea that these were sort of coming from the same place. And what just came to me is perhaps it might be a different consciousness than the Greys. They might still be extraterrestrial, or they might be actually some kind of guiding intelligence of the Earth itself. I mean, we might be like in on the brain of the Earth, you know, that's saying, look, I'm trying to teach you through these symbols. So it might not be extraterrestrial intelligence. It might be terrestrial intelligence, but not the Earth, or maybe the Earth itself.
They have reference. There has been, I mean, there was the famous Arecibo transmission that was responded to. Whether that was a hoax or not, I'm not sure, but it seems like, what a brilliant hoax.
Jaime Moussan, who we met there in the crop circles, didn't think that was a hoax at all. He made a big thing.
Yeah, well,
did you see that on YouTube?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it, but...
Oh, he made a big thing, like, look, we sent out this message, hey, we're Earthlings, and these crop circles came back with a message says, yes, we know you're Earthlings, and this is what we look like. I mean...
Yeah, I that blew my mind. I mean, I have to say, you know, they gave our location in the universe and the number of DNA chromosomes we have, and we got a response back from, I don't know, Sirius or something, and with a DNA code that was more complex than ours. I mean, that's a little difficult it's difficult to ascribe that to just a couple of guys with planks.
I think we're beyond that, a couple of guys with planks, but where are they? So maybe you're right, and then there was the other alien holding the binary code disk.
Yeah, the binary code from Crabwood in 2002. That another one was amazing. I mean, the fact that they used, I checked on this just the other day, they used a 60-line TV signal from the 1950s. It was like,
what do you mean, like a record. What does that mean?
Well, that's what it's called. It's called, it's like a record. It's like with the ridges on the record, but it's binary.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's super intricate. I mean, people should check this on the internet just to look at this thing. It's so intricate. It's like a record, and they've done the number of ridges. I mean, it's just zeros and ones in a very intricate pattern. And apparently, the ASC2 code. That's what they did.
I wonder who figured that out, actually, because it's pretty amazing that someone actually looked at that.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting... I should have asked Jaime Moussan that, because he's presented things. Yeah, this was a crop circle of an alien-looking being holding a disc that had this binary code that said, beware of deception, there's still time to make changes, something like that. I don't have the specific name.
I've actually got it up. It said, beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises, much pain, but still time, believe there is good out there, we oppose deception, conduit closing. And where I got this from, which is not Crop Circle Connector, it's they made a reference to the fact that maybe this is a reference to the alleged dealings that certain governments have had with the depiction on the Crabwood 2002 of a gray. So beware of false deception, false broken, false promises. It could be, you know, they've got a picture of a gray on it. I mean, that's the classic gray, basically, and we know that, you know, they're not supposed to be the greatest, the most loving beings, but it could be a reference to their broken promises and the relationship that they've had with certain governments in exchange for higher technology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, broken promises also definitely talk about George Bush and Cheney and the war, and I think whoever's doing it, these crop circles are for our benefit, for our intellectual and spiritual evolution. They seem to be a very positive force in the world. They're inspiring. They're eye opening. They're energy giving. I don't know why they're not on the front page of every newspaper on the planet. I mean, when new ones appear, they should be the news, and everyone on the planet should stare at these patterns, because I think collectively they're trying to show us new ways of looking at reality, new ways of looking at the world. That's what I, you know, really want to do with the New Realities website that we're working on, is make these things like crop circles available to everyone anytime they look there.
Yeah, I was also thinking just the fact that, you know, if you've got a higher intelligence who's trying to teach, for want of a better term, a lower intelligence, I mean, they are doing it in a very gradual way, and we know that, you know, some of us are desperate for, you know, come down, show us big, give us big signs. But, you know, the great teacher really does go gradually, you know, and if you think about it, these crop circles, the people who are, you know, at the cutting edge of consciousness, do know about them and are studying them and are involved in them. So the tip of the arrow of consciousness is being fed, and there is a trickle-down effect. And so for me, there is a certain teaching that's very mature. It's a very mature teaching that is gradual, that is starting at the tip of the arrow and is having a trickle-down effect. I mean, we even saw, yet again, you know, the Daily Mail in England did an article on the Pi formation, and then we met on the morning of 888, some people from Channel 4 News in England as well, who piggybacked off the Daily Mail article and came, you know, pretty much with open minds too.
Right, and then we also saw that black helicopter that landed over the formation that went really low. That was checking it out for themselves, you know.
That was amazing. That was for me another jaw-dropping moment.
That was a confirmation for me too. It's like It didn't have any marks. Don't usually
no
army
markings,
helicopters. They have
lightweight
markings, don't they?
It was an Apache that was lightweight. It had none of the big guns underneath it, and it had no markings. Completely, you know, black, and just came down. I mean, how many meters above the ground must it have been? Not many.
It was like ten meters above the ground. Very low, 10
around.
Feet above the ground.
Yeah.
And flew right over this formation of the 888. And, they seem to be as surprised as anyone. That was a confirmation for me that, hey, really, really, nobody knows what's going on here. And I totally agree with you about the idea of gradually opening people up. We're not like showing ourselves immediately, because these beings are smart. We need to have an integration period. So
exactly.
If it takes 100 years for people to slowly get, hey, that we're not alone, humans are not the most intelligent creatures in the universe, you know, a part of a greater cosmic family, if it takes us, you know, that long, hundreds of years, then it's worth it, because we need this slow integration. You know, there's that poem by Emily Dickinson that actually is called Dazzle Gradually, because you don't want to blind people with dazzling too fast. So there's definitely an intelligence on that way of dazzle gradually with these phenomena. And this is the way it's developed over the last 20 years. And things started out as simple circles, really, and no one knew who was doing that. And actually, your mother pointed out that, hey, wasn't it interesting that once people started to kind of copy it and kind of hoax it, they started to get more complex, as if they were responding to our initiation? Did you think of that? Did you realize that?
No, I hadn't thought of that, but it's true. I mean, they are getting they are getting more complex, and they're getting incredibly complex. This is the thing that just seems to be baffling people, that you've got, I mean, I haven't fully even understood the meaning of how complex they are, even though I can see what's being done, but I mean, the idea of multi-layered, multi-dimensional geometrical forms within single forms.
Yeah.
Sort of like Dante, or, you know, like the, when they say that Dante can be read on, you know, 5 different levels. These forms are being read on 8, 9 different levels.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. They are, they do seem to be, like two-dimensional representations of a third-dimensional,
yes,
three-dimensional object, which sort of also imply a kind of, fourth-dimensional or fifth-dimensional, whatever that means, geometries.
Yeah.
Or Bert Jansen says these are 3D fractals, you know? And he is a researcher that was able to explore these crop circles in terms of geometries. He's, I'm just looking at his website now, Bert Jansen, and what does he say here? Let's see, he says, oh, he's talking about his book here. Anyway, he made the association between the Great Pyramid of Egypt and some of the formations, or some of the locations of the formations. And then my question to him was, well, is it the same intelligence that helped design the Great Pyramid that's designing these circles? And, well, I don't know if he agreed or not agreed, but he pointed to that same great consciousness that is, that is part of the great mysteries of the planet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think...
Yeah, and I have to say, just to one thing that you've often said that you haven't said this time, that I really want to give credit to, because it's a great an idea that resonates with me a lot. The idea that these images, although complex to the left side of our brain, to our rationale and our logic, are opening and firing in parts of our right side of our brain, just and creating new neural pathways.
Well,
and I completely
exactly
agree
right.
with that. Agree with that.
Well, the right side sees patterns, and when it sees a new pattern like these circles are, we have to kind of expand our point of perception in order to take in a new pattern. So these are very complex geometric patterns, and geometry speaks to the right side of the brain anyway, and because these are basically sacred geometry, it means that there's a harmonic to their formation, they speak to the deepest part of our subconscious mind, which does create new neural pathways that expands, I think, the creativity of the human race in general. So, thank you for reminding me about that.
I tell you, it really spoke to me, because I think that the more sensitive we become, and I mean, the more sensitive I've become since I've stopped putting in intoxicants in my body for several years now, I've noticed, you know, my senses increasing in sensitivity, you know. And another, a funny part is that when we went to these crop circles, I couldn't help but notice that people who, I don't know, were clearly still involved in the toxicity of the body paradigm, we're often in the crop circle saying, well, I don't feel anything, you know, I'm just totally insensitive, you know what I mean? I can't feel it. And as I was watching them, I thought, you know, it's funny, there were a couple that we know, you know, and I kept thinking, God, you know, it's funny that if you're, depending on how you're treating yourself and what your practice is and how much you're doing to feel, it basically relates to how much you're going to consciously feel those new neural pathways, that new expansion of consciousness.
That's great. No, that's a great point, because, you know, these formations are about developing the subtleties of our human experience, subtle feelings which we are here to experience. and the toxicity of the body and the ignorance of the mind blocks the sensitivity to an expanding human consciousness. And we're here to be as human as we can be, which to me means as feeling as we can be, as sensitive to subtle energies, subtleties. That's part of who, that's part of our birthright once we get beyond survival. I mean, you know, a lot of the planet's still stuck in survival, so they're not feeling the subtleties of awareness that's allowed to people who are free and don't have to struggle for their survival, you know, once they're, you know, once we're capable of being self-sufficient, we can go beyond that animal need and open up the facilities of who we really are, our potentials, which are feeling creatures.
You know? Can I say, our good friend, I have to tell that story of our good friend, Fred Rusher, who's a great researcher of sacred geometry and has great presentations. The night before the diamond formation emerged, we were literally talking to him about the tetrahedron being the basis for carbon in this universe and how it's made up of six protons, six neutrons, and six electrons. And he was saying to us how this is the mark of the beast, 666, that literally is our structure. But if we can transmute it in some way, you know, what happens to carbon, it can become the diamond. And he was telling us this in the car park outside the Ivy in Marlborough. And the next day, he called us up, you know, completely flabbergasted that the diamond had been formed.
Well, there is a lot of that kind of... I think that diamond form, I mean, this is my opinion, specifically for Fred. I really, really do.
Mm.
I mean, that was like his little gift for the work that he's been doing in the field of sacred geometry.
Mm.
I mean,
it was almost too much of a coincidence.
It doesn't seem like a coincidence, does it?
Mm.
Also,
Michael
Glickman, who's probably one of the world's authorities on crop circles, said he put out a little... prayer this year, and they gave him an answer, you know? And so, I don't know which circle he was referring to, but it's, there seems to be this subtle play of consciousness that I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if that diamond appeared for Fred? But it is no coincidence that it did appear after we're talking about the diamond shape.
Yeah, and so, if Michael Glickman says that, I believe him, because having seen him for the first time and met him for the first time, he's someone who is nobody's fool and doesn't take any bull and would be the first guy to slap down anything that is that hasn't got some sort of credibility to it. So, I mean, he's someone who I like a lot for his continuing, you know, critical eye.
Oh, definitely. But to say that, hey, this shape appeared for you makes... absolutely blows everyone's mind that that's such a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such a thing, you know, that there are people tapping into your... I don't know. I don't know if I even believe that, but it was pretty outrageous. Just the other little part of the whole experience that we had out there is this social phenomena that I think we should talk about.
Yeah, that was great. I was like being on a different planet. Everybody we walked into the crop circles and met were not only intelligent, they'd done research, they were from, some of them were academics, they were all very curious, everyone was friendly. There was a real sense of coming together. There was a real party atmosphere, but not a sort of reckless party atmosphere, a very sort of, we're here to investigate, hey, you too. And immediately we'd meet like ants and exchange information and move on without attachments and just meet someone else. I mean, it's funny that the amount of interesting people we met of all ages and all over the world.
And, yes, definitely from all over the world, and that there's a common language, and it's a spiritually-based group of people. I mean, these are people who believe in something more than just the material plane. I think everyone we met... had some kind of spiritual philosophy. They weren't like hardcore, you know, football players there, you know?
Yeah.
People were a little out there to begin with.
Yeah, they were very open-minded, and also they were. It was so funny to watch expression after expression of really just struggling to, you know, make head or tail. I mean, they were, most people we met there did not put it down to hoax. I mean, they were walking around literally with their mouths open. I mean,
right. And the other thing is that most of the local people were as blown away by the phenomenon as well. I mean, I expected to go there, and people were sort of like chuckling to themselves, "Look at these suckers coming to investigate. Look what we've done." You know, we met a few people who said they knew some people who were hoaxing it, but, you know, these were mostly people who were pretty ignorant of the phenomena and had probably never stepped in a cross circle themselves.
Yeah.
So, and just also this family feeling of people coming there, and there was this, you know, there was a busload of French tourists, there were all these Dutch people, and then in the Silent Circle, which is a kind of gathering place for people to go and kind of compare notes, it was a very, warm feeling of people coming together to really investigate a mystery, you know? And Charles, the guy who runs the Silent Circle, said there's probably been over 10,000 people through there this summer.
Wow.
It keeps growing every year. The interest keeps growing. And it seems like the phenomenon keeps growing. And I said to Michael Glickman, who's been following this for 19 years, I said, "Would you be disappointed if this didn't happen next year?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm open to anything." And he goes, "Yeah, also, I would be very disappointed if this didn't happen anymore." So it does look like it's going to we're sort of at the end of the crop circle season. If people want to check out the latest crop circles, go to cropcircleconnector.com. This is sort of winding down, although I do have to say there's a lunar eclipse that's coming up on August 16th, and a lot of the people we were with in the circles were saying that's going to be an important formation, whatever happens on the 16th or the 17th, which is also the anniversary of the harmonic convergence, which is interesting. So I predict a major crop circle on the 16th or 17th. Just like what do you think?
I think they're just going to continue. I think they're going to continue, and clearly there is a very subtle beginning. I don't want to say dialogue, that's too strong, but you know what I mean? There is an interrelationship here that's accumulating.
No, there is, because suddenly we've been able to, at least two circles this year, the Pi, there was a formation that was coded to mean the irrational number Pi, 3.179 or whatever that is. I mean, that was a kind of vehicle of exchange. Okay, we're going to give you this, and we figured out what that meant. So it's a sort of like they're teaching us a language of geometry and math.
There's a sprinkling of a more intimate crop circles are appearing as well every so often. Like the diamond, that was a very intimate crop circle. You know, there was a lot of geometry around that too, but that was intimate. There was the goddess holding the sphere. I mean, that was sort of intimate. I mean, they're less coldly mathematical, if you know what I mean. I mean, obviously there's a lot of that still, but I feel that it's almost like there's a coming closer of something. At least that's what I felt.
Well, that's a really important observation. I think we're meeting halfway. They're becoming maybe more, let's say, human, and we're able to also be more sophisticated and more developed. I don't think they could have given us this 8 formation right away. We wouldn't have known what to do with it. We needed like 20 years of development in order to understand, okay, we're going to ask for something. And people didn't know. I mean, that was the last thing I expected to show up on the morning of the 8 was a figure in the shape of an 8. I mean, how ridiculously obvious that would have been. So, there's one woman I know, Francine, who predicted the that it would be innate, but I mean, I think there's a dialogue with whoever is doing the, whatever a higher intelligence is doing, there's a dialogue that is really becoming solidified. Actually, this year, I think for the first time, we sort of are getting a handle on something.
I thought it was funny that it, I thought it was actually sort of, I did feel a bit childish when I saw the eight, because I realized, you know, it's one of those things where they've given us something so clearly that we understand with other things as well within it.
Yeah.
But, they, you know, as if they, you know, there's certain lines in Shakespeare that, you know, anyone will understand, but there's, depending on your level of sophistication, there will be extra meanings, and that's what I felt the eight was. Like, they're patting us on the head, like, look, we can also, we'll just give you an eight, because, you know, you're going to get that anyway. I mean, that's obvious. But
that's
it,
a good observation. You're right, because in Shakespeare, right, anyone can understand Shakespeare, but when you really delve into the text, it's so much more, it's
there's
so
more.
Much deeper
and
richer below the surface.
Yeah, like an iceberg. You don't realize how rich it is, even if you're still understanding the story.
That's right. You can understand the story. I mean, there's probably, you know, there's like, you know, infinite amounts of levels in which you can understand a Shakespearean play, and so many. Just the poetry alone, you can understand it on some level, or the character development, or the, you know, just the plot line, or the metaphysics of it. You know, there's a whole meta. So the same thing is with these formations. You can understand very basically on a level of just pure symbology, or you can go into, like, they're giving us, I think it's like 53 circles on this eight formation. Of course, five and three makes eight, but, you know, the way they laid out the center of that eight sort of represents a Sri Yantra, intersecting triangles. I mean, they're giving us something that, in some levels, we understand on one level, but there's levels and levels of complexity and knowledge.
Yeah, as you just said that, I'm just thinking how it's almost like they're giving us an entire ladder from our level of understanding to their level of understanding. So our level starts at an 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Very basic. But
because as I'm looking at this picture of the eight, and these circles go from smaller to larger with this incredible complexity in the middle of the eight itself.
Yeah, there's so much more in it that probably goes to where they are. But it starts where we are, and as far as our intellect will go, we can keep reading in to get to the deeper meanings.
Yeah.
But it's funny how they really throw the ladder down to us, and the first rung is just an eight.
The first rung, but it's obvious anyone looking at that figure on Cross Circle Connector can see that it's a lot more than just an eight.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot more than just an eight. Well, Zachary, it's been really great kind of reviewing this with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I just have to say, it's just so exciting. We went into the eighth formation, we were one of the first ones, and it just was so exciting to just be a part of something new. Did you get that?
Well, as you said many times, you know, what's amazing about these crop circles, and especially when you're there, I mean, you have to be there, and you have to be in that buzz where every single day people are like, what happened? And more or less, like, almost every day there's a new, you know, bloody circle. You know, you can't imagine what these farmers are like when these farmers are sort of looking around thinking, am I going to get hit? Am I going to get hit? No, the next day, there's a goddess in my field. Oh, there's a magic eight. You know, I mean, there's a six-pointed star. Oh, dear. You know, I mean, it must be ridiculous for them. But as you said, you know, you said many times, this is really a cutting edge of phenomena, a very, very manifest, obvious phenomena. You can't get around it. When you're in those things, there's no difference of interpretation. I mean, it's there. You know, we're standing in it, and it's massive.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, UFOs can come and go. Did I see something? Did I not? But these things, they're here. The crop is laid down perfectly. There's a kind of swirl to it. It's like it takes so much finesse and skill to do anything like that. Yeah, workmanship and huge, and size alone. So it's truly one of the mysteries on the planet that I'm really happy is here, because it's stimulating our own intellectual and spiritual evolution. It's very exciting, very exciting. And thanks so much for coming along with me and being
a
part
of
the realities.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and people can look forward to the newrealities.com website, where we'll be discussing a lot of this phenomena and bringing ideas about new events. And what else are we going to bring to the website?
Oh, gosh. Everything cutting edge, from health to scientific breakthroughs to, continuation of the Enlightenment movement, constantly cutting finer and finer, making the blade sharper and sharper to explain the unknown and the unexplainable.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Zachary. Thank you,
Alan. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate your intelligent comments. So this will be archived on newrealities.com and also BBS Radio. I guess we should have time for the next program to come in. But I've been talking to Zachary Feder, who accompanied me to the Crop Circles this year in Wiltshire, England, for an amazing real-life, hardcore 3D demonstration of a phenomenon that's still unexplainable. So thanks for being a guest, too, and we'll do more shows. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, newrealities.com. Email me with questions, ideas, answers at newrealities@earthlink.net. I'm going to end with this song by Chris Williamson, The Song of the Soul. So thanks. See you next week. Talk to you, and stay tuned.